All right, let's just declare these words. Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. I am walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. So as to please Him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. See, as the word of God is coming forth this evening, it is enlightening my heart. It is giving me understanding. It is turning my life around. It's getting me ready for change in the nation. So I can participate positively. In the name of Jesus Christ. All right, the Lord is good. I just feel like declaring this. Everybody, can you just shut your eyes and concentrate on this word? Say, I am above alone. And I am not beneath. I want you to say it again. Say, I am above alone. And I am not beneath. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. Please, I want you to focus on those words. Just close your eyes and let's meditate for a minute or for a few seconds. Say, I am above alone. I am above problems. Everything that looks like a problem in life is just a challenge to overcome. And I'm an overcomer. Say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome every disease through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome every financial problems. Because Christ's Spirit is in me, I can overcome every temptation. Because the Spirit of Christ is in me, because I have grace to help, because I have obtained mercy in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to declare it again. Say, it is not because of what I have done. Now, please, this thing needs to enter into your heart. I want everybody to understand it, that what you are getting in life is not because of what you have done. It is not, this man has preached more than me, so God will bless him more than he's going to bless me. No, it is not so. It is simply because Jesus paid. The amount of God you will experience is the amount of him that you take hold by faith. It is not the amount of him you work for. It is the amount of him you take hold by faith. The real work in the life of a believer is this, the work of believing. Believing is work. They said to the Lord Jesus, what must we do that we might walk the works of God? And he said, the work of God is that you believe. Do you understand that? I want you to understand that it's not because of what you have done. It is not because you did well or did not do enough bad. That's not the issue. The issue is that Jesus paid and washed away everything that you could have done. Therefore, say it again. It's not because of what I have done. It is because of what Jesus did for me. Say that again. It's not because of what I did. It's because of what Jesus did. All my sins have been washed away. Say that again. All my sins have been washed away. Every ancestral problems, they have been washed away. Ancestral curses, they have been washed away. The power of the devil cannot overcome me. Because my life is hid with Christ in God. For the devil to win, he has to overcome Christ. But he cannot do that because Jesus has defeated him permanently. Therefore, I am an overcomer permanently. Say it again. Therefore, I am an overcomer permanently. I want to just open your eyes and listen to me again. I just feel like saying this. Maybe some people need it this evening. The fact that you have problems is not a sign that you are not blessed. Did you hear what I said? I didn't like that response. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
now say this. Say, I may have problems. It doesn't mean I'm not blessed. I say it sounds like a joke, but it's a matter of fact. Even Jesus has problems. If Judas is in your ministry, it's a problem. Do you understand my point? We must understand that if Judas is a member of your ministry and is occupying a key position handling money, that is a problem. If your mother gathers your brothers, your sisters, they should come and pull you out of ministry. That is a problem. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? The fact that Jesus had problems is not a sign that he was not blessed. He said, but I've been looking for work for 6 months, or 1 year, or even 2 years and I have not found, somebody will now deceive you that it's because somebody buried your placenta wrongly. So that you now start chasing placenta. Let me tell you again, your placenta decayed long ago. Bacteria have eaten everything. They ate every bit of it. It doesn't remain again. Unless you were born like in the last 8 weeks. Anybody here born 8 weeks ago that's listening to me? No. Unless you were born in the last 8 weeks, your placenta disappeared long ago. But let me tell you something, whether a dog ate it, or your mother ate it, or the witches divided it, is of no consequence. Are you getting my point? It is not the reason why you are having one challenge after the other. Somebody said, you know, when I was in university, I used to have this little problem. I'll tell you how it ended. I didn't know. Every July, I used to fall sick. And seriously sick. I remember it was about July. I would fall ill. Now, you know how it ended? One of our sisters, one day, she heard that I was sick. So she came to tell me, sorry. And I think I just recovered. And she remarked that last year, July, you were ill. The other year, too. The moment I discovered it, that was the last. I don't know whether I get the point. She just pointed out, look, why are you always falling sick around this time? So I said, it's true. I'm only falling sick, always falling around this time. So the next July, I was waiting for it. I'm serious. I just remembered it now. I was waiting for it. This one, you will not get me. I said, how did I handle it? I just took the scriptures. And I just refused. Tell your neighbor, he refused. Say it again, he refused. Say, I can't refuse. That's what I'm trying to explain. I just refused. I like one story. And one man of God, I quote him a lot, Ken Hagin said, you know, Americans, they talk a lot about flu season. That's their own malaria. And it comes in epidemics a lot sometimes. So it gets to the season, everybody's having flu. There was this particular season that it was bad. And everywhere he went, everybody had the flu. You organize a church program, instead of them being 200, they'll be 25. Why? Either they have the flu or they are hiding away from the flu. So he'll go into a home. They say, don't come in. Why? Because we have the flu. And flu is very contagious. So we tell you, why can't I come? You open the door and come in. Don't worry, I'm not going to get the flu. He kept on telling them that. And then, one night, he woke up around 2 a.m. and he had the flu. It appeared like, you know what we call malaria here? Sometimes they say, I have typhoid. That is what they call flu. And that's the same symptomatology, right? Headache. But that's usually added with sore throat, you know, things like that. So fever, sore throat, the man is feeling chills. So he woke up during the night and his whole throat, you know, was sore. A cough was developing. And he said, Mr. Devil, listen, you are offering me flu. Are you getting my point? And I won't take. He said, you're offering me flu, and I'm not going to take. This is where a lot of us make the mistakes. Once the symptoms start, say, it finally made it. The man says, it's an offer. I have a right to refuse. I have a right to accept. I choose to refuse. The devil hung around and said, oh boy, try the flu small now. Just for 2 days, use it to rest. The man said no. He stood, maybe woke up for some time, took his scriptures, and began to confess the word of God. The word of God concerning healing. He went back to sleep, woke up in the morning, and the devil said, since he doesn't want to take, let me go and give somebody else. That's it. He woke up in the morning, he was perfectly fine. There's a story I told in my book, one of the books, I think Great Faith Can Be Yours. It was chicken pox time. I didn't know, you know. I just found out that I was not feeling well for some time. Then I woke up one morning, and everywhere, all over my face. Have you seen chicken pox before? The thing broke out nice. You know what I mean? Everywhere. I said, look at this guy looking for trouble. I took Bishop Oyedepo's tape, Supernatural Living Series. I think I have the tape somewhere around here. Tape 2, Stirring Up the Gift. It was early in the morning. I just woke up in the morning. I took the tape. I stayed in the room, listened to the tape through and through. when I finished, you know, sometimes when we want to fight with our desires. I don't want, so that's not all. I first armed myself with the word of God. Do you get my point? Nigeria wanted to fight Boko Haram. Until they could buy arms, it was a problem. The soldiers were rebelling. They shot at the brigadier's vehicle because they said he made them go on the patrol and they were ambushed and a number of them were killed. And they were angry. Then finally, just a few months before the elections, the arms arrived. And Boko Haram was wondering what happened to Nigeria Army. And they went after them. And since that time, you see, it has not, they've been relentless. Anytime you hear that they killed a Boko Haram, killed five people, they are just trying to show that they are still there. That despite the desire, except you have the arms, the correct ammunition, there's not much you can do. Are you getting what I'm explaining? So that they didn't just say, I will be healing, I will be healed. No, I first took the scriptures, took a tape, and listened to it for 1 hour. When the whole message had ended, now, I listened to that message before many times. So that's how come I knew which one to select. When the thing had entered my heart very well, and I now settled myself down, cocked my gun, aimed it against the chicken pox, placed my hands on my face, and cast the thing. When I finished, I got up, went to have a bath. I put white ordinary dressing powder on my face so that people won't notice, you know, in the house where I didn't want to be talking. Just dressing powder, not medicine, just powder. Came out, had a bath, dressed up. Somebody said that, what is wrong with you? I said, nothing. He said, you know they are Christians. They will never agree something is wrong. I said, well, then why are you asking me? You know I will not agree. I went to sleep that night, woke up next morning. No reflexly. You know, you wake up in the morning and just rub your face like this. At the moment my hand hit my face, I just remembered yesterday morning. This time around, the thing was smooth. That is, even the little pimples hiding before, they used the opportunity to run. Sometimes in life, it's because we agree. We accept. Sometimes what we need to do is refuse. What did I say? Just refuse. I like that story of that Kenneth Hagin because he said he woke up and said, I refuse this thing. Told the devil, take it, go away. I'm not accepting. No. I'm not a flu person. Tell the devil, it's against my religion. It's against my religion. I don't want to have the flu. He refused. He said, no, take. Go. What am I going to explain? Sometimes the problems we have in life is not a sign that we are cursed. It's a sign that we accept. Let me quickly go by it again. There are three major reasons Christians have problems. And one of them is not because of ancestral curses. I must say this again. There are three major reasons Christians have problems. And it does not include ancestral curses. If anybody says to you, the reason why a Christian is having a problem is because of an ancestral curse, tell him he doesn't have enough understanding. He said, but you know, your brother had this problem. You remember that your uncle also had it. It's proof that it runs in your family. That's what the Bible meant when Paul was speaking in the book of Romans chapter 8, that the body was subject to death because of sin. Now, what we are not saying those things did not happen. We are saying now, in our lives, because of the introduction of the Spirit of Christ, things are different. That's what we are saying. Tell the person, that was then, that in my own life, it doesn't run. It doesn't run. I refuse that testimony. Isaiah chapter 53 started with, who we believe our report. It is what you believe that happens in your life. I like to tell this story again and again. A friend of mine called me one day. He said, I killed somebody. I knew, of course, he's not an armed robber. He didn't knock anybody down. What simply happened? I asked him, he's a doctor. I said, what happened? He said, I told a man he would die, and he died. He told me the rest of the story. This man came from work for a checkup. He checked him up, because the man had not been feeling well for some time. He checked him and said, when the man returned for his results, after some days, maybe about a week or two later, he said, sorry, you have cancer in the liver. What is the treatment? There's no treatment. What is my hope? There's no hope. What will happen to me? You shall die and not live. He told the man nicely. He So as I was telling him, he started sweating. He said, this is a man who came from work. For the first checkup, he came from work. For the follow-up, he came from work. By the time I saw him next, he was sick. He was telling me this. Next time I saw him, he was seriously sick. He said, he had become jaundiced. All the signs of liver problem has now filled his life. He said, a few weeks later, he was dead. So he called me and said, Banky. I said, what? He said, I think I just killed somebody. How did you do it? I told him he would die. And let me add words now. He believed me, and he died like we both agreed he should. And that story I tell once in a while because these stories are so instructive. It's an American. This was not a church program. It was National Geographic or Discovery. An American doctor, elderly doctor, was being interviewed. He said, one thing I never do and I teach my students, don't take hope away from your patients. He said, I don't take hope away from my patients. He said, it's based on experience. There was a time he had a patient. They did some tests and they got a wrong diagnosis. They concluded the man had a disease he did not have. But they didn't know. Doctors make mistakes. I mean, it's part of life, you know. As long as human beings are the doctors and not God, there will be mistakes. If I went for a workshop in Owerri, you know, yesterday, came back today, one of the things we see discussed, because it's a workshop for pathologists, one of the fellow teaching, he came from the UK, he said, if you think you have never made a mistake, it's either you are lying or you don't work. Yeah. That if you, as long as you do this work, once in a while, you will make a mistake. He was trying to encourage us to use certain checks and balances to make sure that we don't do things that are terrible. He was just encouraging those things. So human beings make mistakes. Doctors make mistakes. They say yearly, more people die in the United States of America from mistakes of doctors than died in the whole of Vietnam War. You know, Vietnam War, Americans complained tomorrow, 55,000 American soldiers died. What they say that more than 55,000 people die yearly in America because their doctor made a mistake. Some mistakes happen. So this man made a mistake. He told the man something was wrong with him. And the man believed him. He told the man, you will get worse over the next 6 months. The man got worse over the next 6 months. I'm adding words now. You will get even more worse over the next 8 months. He became worse over the next 8 months. Then he will die after about a year and a half. After a year and a half, the man died. Everything followed the way he told the man it's likely to happen. Except that when the man died, they did an autopsy on him and found nothing wrong with him. This was not a church program. So it's not as if a pastor was talking. This is an American, elderly American physician talking. He said that thing shook him. He said, from that time, I stopped removing hope from my patients. So the man interviewing him said, what if you have a patient that has a disease that 90% of the people die at the end of 5 years? He said, I will tell him that 10% live beyond 5 years. That will focus his mind on the 10% that will live beyond 5 years. He said, because I refuse to take hope away from people anymore. I've done it once, I'm not going to do it again. And that is not even a spiritual man talking. That was not a spiritual man talking. That was just a doctor. Just talking about his own life's experience. A lot of the problems we have in life is because we agree. That's why I always look for the best explanation for anything. If I have a headache, my best explanation is that I've been working too hard and I've not been sleeping well enough. You will never tell me I have a migraine or I have meningitis. I won't agree. And really, I pray over it, I go and sleep. I eat, relax, no work. I take the best explanation for it. That is an attitude about life. And it's not just a hope. It's just not a personality type or a wish. It's based on scriptures. The best things are happening to me. That's my own. The best things are happening to me. You know, something happened on Saturday. You know, on that Saturday, you know, because of the crisis that was in the country, you know, fuel, the strikes, the marketers protesting, no power. So, the fuel crisis anyway. So, if you remember, fuel price was going up by the hour. Can you remember that? Normal price is supposed to be 87 naira a liter. We buy 100 usually. Then we go somewhere, 120. They say, let me go home and go and get more money. You come back, they say, it's 130. They say, what is happening? The manager calls from the office. Hey, it's now 140. How can I say, is that right? They close the gate against you. It's now 150. So we went out in the morning. My wife said, oh, her car doesn't have fuel. Let's just buy fuel for the house because there was power problems. Let's buy fuel for the generator and buy fuel for her car. So I said, okay, went to one station, went to the other. They didn't have. I said, let's go home. She said, no. Then let's quickly go and buy where they have fuel. I said, why are you bothering? Do you have enough fuel to last you today? She said, yes. Do you have enough fuel to last you tomorrow? She said, yes. I said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's go home. Shouldn't we plan? I said, a lot of planning is unbelievable. Well, I obliged that. We turned and went and bought fuel. But along the way, we began to teach. I said, baby girl, this is how Christianity is about. I said, if it was me alone, I checked the first station, I checked the second one, I said, I turn and go home. I won't use the fuel I have to be pursuing the one I can't find. My wife thought about it for a long time. She couldn't grab. I said, listen, baby, I'm not guaranteeing you that you will see fuel on Monday. I'm just telling you there's no problem on Monday. I don't know what I get my point. So if there's no fuel, I will stay at home. I said, but as long as I have fuel for today, I will not worry about money. Because this was Saturday. Sunday was church. Monday is when business starts again. We need to move around. If you don't have fuel to take children to school, they will stay at home. What is going on? I told her, baby, I don't know how to worry you. Yesterday, I had to travel. I got to finish. They told me 200 naira later. So as soon as I stopped, the guy said, oh, guys, 200. I said, my friend, I have eyes. I can see his book. The boys are there laughing. I said, I appreciate you just wanted to warn me because it's ridiculous. 200 naira later from a nozzle. I said, the moment I drove in, I saw it written boldly, put it. You know, some people would say, if I had known that Saturday, at least we still go for 150 or so. Hey, why didn't you just buy more? I said, for me, it would have been worrying on Saturday. It would have been a sin that day. At least I didn't commit the sin. Father, thank you. No, I'm serious. I tell people, look, people sometimes say, buy land. The price is going up. Listen, when they were selling land for half a million naira, I couldn't afford it. When they sold for 12 million naira, I bought. It was easier. Do I look like I'm getting poorer? I've been prophesying it for a long time that I'm only getting richer in this life. When they were selling cars for 40,000 naira, good, clean, fresh, fairly used cars, I didn't have. But the time came, I had to pay 2.5 million naira for a brand new Kia. I had. I'm not going to die worrying because I don't have now. Don't worry. Tomorrow is coming. When God is there, don't worry. After you guys, don't let any woman do you shagara. After you guys, no woman do you shagara for anything. Oh, nonsense is that one. I remember when I first met my wife that time. She told me that I talk too much. I said, hey, I have my reasons. I told how much I was earning in a month, 18,000 naira. That's my salary. If you don't want to marry me, just forget it now. And I'm not promising you I'll be rich tomorrow. This is my salary. Even though I knew I was going somewhere. I said, but like Archbishop Idausa used to say, marry me. I will take you around the world. Told my wife, just for being Pastor Banky's wife, my wife was going out. Somebody just stopped her in the mall. You are Mrs. Banky. She looked at the first, have you met before? No, anytime Pastor Frank is preaching and says, my wife, they just zoom in on you. Say they watch on TV, they just saw her at the mall and grabbed her. So I told you I'll take you around the world. If not only for television, you've gone around the world already. Land in Kenya, now people will recognize you. Land in South Africa, people will recognize you. Oh, look at that thing. What I was saying, I look at the best of every situation. When I saw the crisis in the country over the last few days, which has started winding down now, I just raised a prayer point. I said, this demon is excited because we are kicking him out. Order is coming, the next administration. So he's excited. I said, forget the girl, let's pray. I sent my brethren prayer point. Call power to be and call fuel to be. That's what I'm supposed to do as a Christian. Not worry. Say, what's going on in this country? How can I be selling fuel for 250? Look. There was a time they were selling fuel for 12 naira a liter. I didn't have a car. I couldn't buy. It was not one day I queued in Lagos. I just looking at them. Why are they queue? I didn't have a car. One of my colleagues that time, he said, Professor, now in Benin. When I see him going, I said, what? How far? He said, I don't have fuel. That once there's fuel scarcity, he parks his car and he joins the bus. I said, you're my guy. That was my kind of attitude. I said, we'll go and queue money till night. I said, once you are not a taxi driver, what are you doing on the queue? You stop a bike, stop a keke, you know? If you blow petrol inside keke to move, those things use very little fuel. I'm telling you, the Lord is good. Look, yeah, don't worry your life about whatever will happen tomorrow. That's how they told my wife, relax. Just go home and go and cool our temper. Nothing bad will happen to us on Monday. Nothing. What am I going to explain? It's the attitude of a believer. That's what I'm explaining. And remember, I started from this show of people have problems. They say curse, they follow them. Not a curse. There are three reasons Christians have problems. Number one, I really explained that. Don't accept some things. Don't accept to worry. Don't accept to drop your soul. You understand? I want to tell you that, hey, everybody's going to die. Don't accept you are going to die. Just tell them, I'm not going to die. Forget it. Christians, you know, you have to understand this confidence that Jesus has given us in him. No, God has helped me with that thing. Things that other people pray about, I don't worry about it. And remember the story of my bat? I was lying down in my room, my wife there, and suddenly a bat appeared from nowhere. Typical African will have prayed that day. If you go to some churches I know whose name I will not mention, they will start prayer. All our enemies, the enemies came as a bat. I've told you before, a witch can't fly into my house. Forget all of this nonsense. Did I worry my head about it? No. He flew into the wardrobe. I closed the door of the wardrobe and when I attended to Bishop and his wife, they came to visit. After the end, I came up, said, opened the door, trapped the bat, and threw it away. Told him, my God, go and throw it away. It's a small bat. It missed his way. Is it a witch? Not in my house. Am I dead? Now, then it was a hey. But I pray, nothing will happen to your children. It's the children of the bats that will die, not my own. All the bats in the world will go extinct first. No, we have to look, there are things. One day my daughter, she had a fever. She just woke up, she was sleeping beside me. He said, daddy, daddy. I said, what is it? I dreamt that you died. I said, my friend, shut up and sleep. Who will not die? If Jesus doesn't come back, won't I die one day? So my daughter now dreamt it. What does it matter? So people now say, hey, maybe it's a revelation. It is not a revelation. The child is sick. I didn't even tell my wife. She heard it for the first time from this pulpit when I was using to preach. I think she tried with daddy. She wasn't around because I remember that my daughter was there. She slept in my room and my wife wasn't there. She just woke up. I said, my friend, quiet and sleep. I didn't check my spirit. Is that the Holy Spirit? Holy Spirit, if you want to talk to me, talk to me. Don't disturb me through a sick child. It's true. No. It's a victor's attitude. That's what I'm trying to explain. I have a victor's attitude. If I have a headache, it's not a sign I'm going to die. It's a headache that it's a sign that I need to sleep. And I get some extra sleep. That's all. If I finish getting the sleep, it doesn't go. And I say, boy, you have overstayed your welcome. I will now put my hands on it. Initially, I don't pray about it. Though. I just say, okay, I'm having this headache. I'll tell my wife, sleep. I think I need to sleep. I've been staying up too much. All right? So I start sleeping much. By the second day, if he still stays there, I say, no. This one day sleep is enough. You should have gone. We'll now put a hand on it and warn the guy that you are not welcome here. Stop giving any disease your own name. I think my migraine is acting up. My migraine. How can you be saying that kind of thing? If somebody says, what is going on? Say, man, join hands with me. Let's drive this intruder. It's not your own. Do you have migraine?
No.
Is any disease your own?
No.
That's an attitude. Just say no, I don't agree. Anytime you hear news, they say, when this begins to happen, you know what? Once it's negative, just say no, I don't agree.
Because it's negotiation. You don't get my point. It's negotiation. Just say, I don't agree. I don't agree.
What do you mean? I refuse to accept it. Jobs we have to find, I refuse to accept it. Okay, if I don't find a job, I create one. Job, not job. Either I found it or I created it. And also, many people that don't have jobs is because God says, go and create one. Create one doesn't mean start mobile. It doesn't mean start MTN. It can start with simple things like wash clothes. Wash a car. Put a canopy out. Get two other boys. Start washing cars. If you know how much money those boys collect for washing cars, you will understand. Well, you're looking for a job where you wear a tie. And they will not give you an official car and a house in Ikoyi. Remember that joke? That is why you are saying there's no work. There's a lot of work. I keep on saying it. Listen, in this our country today, I've talked to the employers. There are problems that they can't find people to work. They will advertise for a post. You understand? 10 people will come, apply for the job. Not one of them can do it. Either they can't speak English or they are too lazy. They can't come to work on time. They want to close early. They want 6 months leave out of 12 months. The employer just looks and he doesn't understand. I say, you're a graduate, you can't speak English. Which school did you go to? The same joker will now go and say, there's no job in this country. I've applied in 10 places that they haven't called me. In those 10 places, they didn't see anybody to call. Go and talk to those who employ staff. You know what I'm telling you is a matter of fact. One of our brothers recruits from one company in Lagos. Once he wrote an article, he was tired. That he's trying to get an accountant. He's interviewed like 10 people. None of them can do accounting, and they all have BSs in accounting. He said he'll give a simple problem on bookkeeping to solve. They can't solve it. The same jokers will go out and tell you there are no jobs. In Nigeria today, believe me, there are more jobs than the workers. Even men who build houses. Bishop, you know it's a matter. To find a good mason who can lay block well, now what? To find a good mason who will give you straight lines is difficult. Remember them, there are no jobs. Look, let me go back to my message. I feel I'm talking to some people this evening. Let nobody be deceiving you. That is an ancestral curse that didn't let you have a job. I'll tell you, either one, you don't know how to work, or two, God says, I don't want you to do that work. Go and find something else to do. Christians have only three reasons, like I said, why they have problems. One, either because of ignorance, and I've alluded to that as I was going on, they accept all kinds of things. So that there's no job in Nigeria. Where's the job? There's a job in America. The guy gets to America, I find there's no job in America too. It's a matter of fact. I've noticed something. I was talking to a friend of mine a few days ago. I said, the main people who want to run to America are those who have never been there. Yes. Those who have gone regularly don't want to go. Yesterday when I was driving, I traveled with one of my colleagues. We're talking about in the car. We're just lamenting about what a decision of his uncle's made. About this, he just disappear to another country because he thinks our grass always greener on the other side. We're discussing these things. Listen, if you tell me, you're looking for a visa to go to America, I just know you have not gone there before. You only hear lying stories. Just go there, you just find dollars. When you see, there's this particular tree, you just climb it. Normally at the middle, you find the dollar, it's around. If you can't pluck it from there, wait for the sparrows to bring it to you. Trust me, it doesn't happen. It is easier to make 200 naira in Nigeria than to make a dollar in America. That what I've told you is fact of today, today's facts. That's today's fact. Today's fact. But people just believe lies. They believe lies. Be productive now. They want to run away from the curse in the family. Disappear fast. If the curse recognizes, geographical boundary, and the curse needs to collect visa. You see, the man I'm afflicting has traveled. Can you give me visa to follow him? There's nothing like that. But the fact is, number one reason why Christians have problems is ignorance. People lie to them, they believe lies. They don't know that greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. Number two reason why Christians have problems is because of what the Bible calls the trial of their faith. If you were doing wrong before, you repent and say, let me start doing right. Listen, for a while you will be broke. Let's assume you're in the market, you are sharp. You'll tell lies to make money. You know by sharp in that sense now. All right, you tell lies to make money. You lie to your customers. Then you hear the gospel of righteousness and integrity. You know, want to start practicing it. For the first few months, you may not sell as much as you used to sell. It's called the trial of your faith. Anytime by faith you want to start doing what is right, it will be tried. That's why the Bible says, he that endures to the end will be saved. One of the things we must learn as a Christian is just to do what is right because it is right, not because you get anything for it. Like I was telling my wife that day, she said, okay, no, I said, look, what I've told her doesn't now mean that by next week four will now be cheap. It can happen. I said, even if it does not happen, what matters is that we refuse to worry today. That's what we are getting our scorecard ticked on. Time for worry? No, we refuse to worry. They didn't pay us off, it's irrelevant. The important thing is that time for worry, we refuse to worry. So when you want to do what is right, don't check what is going to benefit you. Just do what is right because it is right. Because your faith will be tried. A lot of people, that's why they lose out. Somebody told, I'm back to it again. But I promise you I won't stay for long there. 2 minutes, all right? 2 minutes. Somebody told that give, once you give money that is painful. Do you hear that all the time? So if it doesn't pain you, it's not a sacrifice. God only blesses a sacrifice. A sacrifice is that pains you. Those things are not true anyway. But sacrifice anything that you give, all right? Whether it pains you, doesn't pain you, it's nothing. So David said, I will not give God anything that has not cost me. If I give you 20 naira, it costs me 20 naira. I hope you get my point. It's not only when I give you 1 million that it costs me. You get what I'm saying? That just by the way, for you to understand. When David made that statement, he was just saying that, why should I be the one giving an offering and you are the one paying for it? That's what David meant. What David gave, he could afford it 10,000 times. Are we getting that? So you've done all of that. You've given money that's pained you. Isaac's sacrifice. After 2 months, bros, you didn't get anything. After 6 months, you did not get anything. Yeah, witness that it's been a year, nothing has come. Let me tell you what I've been telling you so that you will believe it. It's not coming. What did I say? Say it loud. If you don't want to give, please don't give. If you want to give, give and forget it. You know, the same way you give to your children. You won't say, the food I gave them 3 days ago has not yet borne me fruit. Do you ever say that? The same way you go home, maybe you give to your parents. You don't say, hey, I sowed the seed into my father's life since last week. Till now, it has not yielded. Do you say those such things? Just do what you want to do, and you go away. That's how Christians give. That's what I mean by loving righteousness. Just do it because it is right, not because of what you are going to get. If you are waiting for what you are going to get, you are going to be discouraged. Just do it because it is right. Because faith will always be tested. So get ready. Enjoy. I was listening to a clip of T.D. Jakes being interviewed. He said, enjoy the process. That is, you are going for a goal. Don't wait till you get there to rejoice. Every day, enjoy the process. Enjoy that process. Make up your mind that you have pleasure in doing, and I'm using my own words now, in doing what is right. Just enjoy it. That you get home, Lord, I want to thank you. What happened? I gave money today in church and it was painful. Praise God. Buried there. Don't say, Lord, you see as you pain me. When you want to bless me, it will pain you too. Don't tell the Lord that, though. That's how to get injured, though. Just enjoy the fact that you did it. Why? Faith will be tested. Don't let your heart become faint because the Bible says hope that is deferred. That's what happens. She say, I sold that 10,000, so God will give me 10 million. And after 6 years, the 10 million hasn't come. And by the time it finally comes, you have forgotten yourself. Now the 10,000 is now worth more than the 10 million of today because you waited 200 years before it came. That is the second reason Christians sometimes have problems. It's the trial of their faith. God is just trying to separate the men from the boys. Those who are looking for quick results or those who are planted. Because go and check that word. The seed, when it goes into the ground, the one that doesn't have depth of earth, He quickly responds, then it withers away. But the ones that are planted deep, God, that's what God is trying to check. Those ones can face persecution, they can face trials, they can lose things. It doesn't trouble them because they have made up their minds. God said, I chose you in the furnace of affliction. It's when everybody is being tested. I know those people who are pure. It's not when I'm blessing everybody, everybody's waving their hands. Praise the Lord that I know who really wants to serve me. I let them go through trials. I let them go through tests. It's in the midst of the test, I know those who are really serious. The second reason why Christians may have a problem. The third reason is the one which we all can avoid. The first one, we can avoid it by working hard at knowledge, refusing what is not the will of God. In fact, just by the way, once somebody said he heard me preaching. I want to just amplify that first one. He said he heard me say something that he said Christians behave like Christianity is pick and choose. So one of my friends. I said, what do you mean? He said, no, you don't just pick and choose with God. You take everything. I agreed, but then you also have to know what you're agreeing to. I said, listen, when God is giving you something, the devil also adds his own. You don't know that? He said, they went to sow wheat, right? And then at night, what happened? The enemy went and planted tares. So you have to know that I don't want this tare. Don't say anything God gives me, I will take. Some things God didn't give you. So it's not everything you accept. I'm just amplifying that one. That's one. What do you accept? Only that which is described in the Word of God. And that's why I preached at that time. That people say that, what is he doing in that country? That country where things don't work. I say, why? Because the Bible says, as a true soldier of Christ, I must be able to endure hardship. That one is in the scriptures. I can endure hardship. I can endure difficult times. I won't run away because power fails. That's nonsense. Those who preached this gospel originally, they didn't have power. That is electricity the way we have it now. And men, till today, they are living where there's electricity and going to the bush where there's none. I'm in a place where I can actually afford the generator, buy fuel, and I'll be complaining. Ah, God, you know I don't do that. Thank you for helping me not to do that. Ask my wife. She's known me for how many years now? Notice she has never heard me complain about things like that. And my car stops. And what kind of nonsense is this? My mates are driving better cars. You have never heard me say things like that. Never. That is, I'll be talking as if I have a problem in life. You don't grumble about it. The Bible says we can endure hardship. We can endure hardship. Anyway, I'll just amplify that first one. So we know what God has given us. We know what he hasn't given us. God says clearly there are times you have to endure difficulty. All right? So we know. But then generally what he has given us are good things. Even that the difficulty I keep on saying, he didn't say we will die inside. Do I walk through the valley of the shadow of death? That I'm passing through, I'm not dying in the valley of the shadow of death. Weeping may endure for what? For what? For how many nights? Then joy comes what? So if I'm in the midst of weeping, I endure it, but I have an expectation that joy will come in the morning. That's knowledge. I already mentioned about trial of our faith. Then last one, which one I say very important we can control. The other reason, very important reason why Christians have problems. One crucial reason why Christians have problems is because there's what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward for disobedience. Have like saying this one before you start blaming witches and the devil. The devil doesn't have as much power as people make it appear like he does. I keep on saying that. The only power the devil has is the power of what? Temptation. That's for a Christian. If God hasn't given you into the power of destruction, that's into the hands of the devil, he doesn't have power over you. The only power he has by himself, which God doesn't know, like he just go and executes it, is the power of temptation. God never tells you not to whisper to anybody. So it comes all the time to you. Has God really said you shall do things this way when your mates who are doing the other way are making more money? That is temptation. It's when you fall for that, he now gains the power of death over you, which is what the Bible calls the just recompense of reward for disobedience. Anytime you're having challenges and troubles in life, settle down and say, what am I doing wrong? It is not as if you are walking in sin consciousness. Just want to be sure. You understand my point? That because sometimes what happens is that some of those things, God allows them to be able to correct us. There are things you think you are doing, that you think are right, and God says they are not. The only way I will correct you is I let you go into difficult times. Why doing that? Then when you come to pray, I will say, you see, this is the issue. Remember, 3 years ago, your friends, you know, they gathered and told you what you are doing is wrong. You didn't listen to them. 3 years later, this is where it has brought you to. So what do I do? Repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for being stubborn, for being disobedient. Because God always brings correction. God always brings correction. That's why you must pray that prayer all the time. That which I see not, teach thou me. God always brings correction. He only judges people when they have heard corrections, but they reject the correction. Saul was not rejected until he rejected the correction that Samuel brought to him. Disobedience did not kill Saul. It was rejection of correction that finally killed him. So sometimes when we are doing things wrong, we have problems. None of these is an ancestral curse. Once you believe, the ancestral curse is washed away. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Once you believe, the ancestral curse is what? Washed away. What you now do now is work hard to ensure that these other three things, they don't cause you problems in life. One, then the second one, if you are being tempted, stand in the midst of temptation and endure. Make sure you are not doing things that are wrong. How do I know what is wrong? I'm happy you came this evening to come and hear the word of God. Two ways you know. One, sometimes somebody is preaching, they just tell you something clear. There are things people don't realize are bad. Then you go to church, you are told. You listen to a radio broadcast, you are told. You watch a TV message, you are told. You buy a book, you are told. You open the Bible, you are told. I told you once, I've given this simple illustration once. I found that the Bible says you must never curse a deaf man. It's not as if God wants you to curse anybody. But it just says don't take advantage of the person's disability. And I was working with a man who didn't used to see. And we used to make signs once in a while. People want to, they don't want him to talk. The person, they just make signs. You're not in the talking mood. The man is coming. Somebody is leading him, of course. So you gently slow down, pass another direction because you know he won't see you. I found out that the Bible says it is wrong. So what do I do? If I see him, at that time, if I'm not in the mood in which I don't want to talk, and I see him, I quickly decide, if he was seen, will he see me here? If the answer is yes, I greet him. If a normal person could have been avoided, yes, I can go ahead. But I said, the way I'm walking, no, he will have seen me. Good afternoon, sir. Let him take my time. I'm ready for it. Because I must not disobey the order of God. If my colleagues make any sign to me, I say, did you call me? Yes, I'm amplifying my voice. I just read the scripture one day and I showed one of my colleagues who's a Christian. He said, ha, this Bible is serious. There are people who don't respect their seniors. The Bible makes it clear that you shall respect the presence of the aged. It says to the Israelites, you will stand up when a gray-headed man comes around. Don't sit down and tell him, say, ah, pa, ha, fa. And I practice it till today. And many of us, you shouldn't mature away from some things. I have a colleague who one day I greeted my chief at the airport. She was embarrassed. I went to pick her from the airport as she arrived. What do you call it? Namdi Azikiwe Airport. Is that, what's the name? Sorry, because that one is a stadium, maybe. I cannot be international airport. It was local airport that time. In the parking lot, I approached her, welcome. Ah! He said, Banky, will you stop that? Are you embarrassing me? I said, you are my chief. If I don't greet you, who will I greet? I'm sitting down, elderly person. I jump up. Ah, you're welcome, sir. And one day, one senior professor entered my office in UNTH. Very senior. Those would have been professors in the maybe 80s. Just walked in. And I was head of department. I was consultant, lecturer. I sat down there. He walked in, and I was on my table. Good afternoon, sir. I stood on my table. And he came, he sat down. And it was my office. So I stood there. Behind my desk, I stood. Until he told me to sit down. Thank you, sir. And it's my office. And I stood there until the man told me to sit down. I stood there. These are scriptural things. I won't say he's my office. So what? He's my elder. It's in the scriptures. Thou shalt rise before the aged.
Many people, they are doing things wrong. They are, look, there's one I keep on teaching. Some people, you graduated 6 years ago. You've been whining every day that you don't have work. That's why you have never given your father a gift. You say he has money. That's why you are poor. Because you are disobeying one scripture every day. Honor your father and your mother. These are the things that God corrects you by. You hear the word of God, you make corrections in your life. You make corrections, then the area in which you are introducing the power of death into your system is closed. One powerful way by which people remain in bondage because of disobedience is through unforgiveness. God will have to teach you to forgive. These are the reasons why Christians have problems. It is not because of an ancestral curse. On Sunday, Okemu, they told me something. You know that his radio broadcast, which, you know that broadcast there, is shaking this region. Somebody say amen. No?
Amen.
Please be praying for him, for wisdom, and for greater reach. Say somebody called him one day and said he had a problem that he paid, is it 10,000? You didn't listen to it. Is it either 10 or 40,000 that he said he paid? 40,000 for prayer. He said, what will happen? He said, would the prayer work? He said, I don't know. Whether it will work or it will not work, I'm not sure. But one thing I'm sure of is that your 40,000 is gone and it's not coming back. He said, I told the guy, because I didn't listen to it that Sunday. He said, I told the fellow, just make sure you don't do it again. Anyway, before I used to say, this is so foolish. But now, a lot of people is ignorant. They are walking in blindness. They are walking, they don't know their left from their right. They still pay people to go to a village to go and dig, and they always dig something. Even the one that started a business yesterday, he will dig something. That should tell you it's a lie. How come all of us have the same problem in which something is buried? I went to Asaba the other day. I was talking to somebody who said they dug something. They removed it. Any state in Enugu, they dig. You go to the west, they dig. Is it the same problem we all have? And I like this earth. If you dig long enough, you'll find all kinds of things. Eventually, you will find the bone of a dinosaur. Just keep digging. And they'll finally bring it out and show it to you. Listen, anything that's been buried, leave it there. God likes to bury things. Bury your sins under the blood of Jesus. Once it's been buried, leave it. The thing that was buried when you were born is not what is worrying you today. Ever since you gave your life to Christ, unless you haven't, ever since you gave your life to Christ, all right, the effect has been removed. I'm sorry I say it like this, but the fact is that now hunger they cause all of this in the life of this prophet. So. And what you call prophets, I keep on saying, a lot of them were not prophets until like 15 years ago. Before, what were they? Dibias, Babalawos. People, you had to go to the village and go and meet in one corner. But they now realized you were not coming again. They came and checked. Where are you going now? They said they are going to church. Please, how do they open church? They buy white garments. So they bought white garments and started sacrifice. After a while, white garment church, dry. Where are they going now? They say it's color. They wear color now. How do I do? Buy suit. Cram a few messages and start giving all kinds of words of knowledge. The same trade, it hasn't changed. People will rush down and go all the way to, is it Ikotu or Igbeda? Where is that Joker in Lagos? Ikotu. They will, on television, they say, man of God is giving rice to the poor. Man of God is giving goat to the poor. One girl said she used to be a harlot, but now she has come to this church of Satan. What do you call it now? That since that time, man of God has been taking care of her. That we drink like a Sarah. I said, Daddy, my wife had a good laugh. That we eat anything we like, we drink like a Sarah. They put her on television. The moguls will kill there and pay 5,000 naira for a bottle of anointed water. The man robs Peter and gives more to Paul. Then Paul spends the G's that this man gives. But Peter has false hope
that this water I bought will solve all my problems. And do you know people love it like that? They love it. One clown will show up that he went to Israel. And they now sell a bottle of mustard seed, a small can of mustard seed, or anointing oil from Mount Olives, and then water from the Jordan for baptism. And you see jokers believing it. If you want to be baptized, better go to Oji River. There's one stream on the road to Transekulu. It's rainy season. It don't fall now. Be baptized there. It works. Come near my house after it has rained. The drain at the bottom of our street. I can baptize you inside there if it doesn't carry you away. You don't need water from the Jordan. When the Ethiopian eunuch was baptized, we don't know the name of the water that was used. He just said, "What stops me from being baptized? Look at it. There's plenty of water here." Maybe it rained the day before. Just saw a pool of water. Philip dipped him inside. That was the end of his baptism. People are waiting, thinking there's a special. My friend said he went with them to Israel once. When they got to the tomb of Jesus Christ, what they claim is the tomb of Jesus. We don't know where it is, but what they said, people were rolling on the floor, trying to. Jesus left there. Even Jesus got up and walked away from there. A place where Jesus left. Should you be going there? But adventure, that's where he left the sins of the whole world. People will pay money to go there. The Israelites are collecting their money. The Jews, they are very happy you believe in Jesus. They don't. Look, those people, Christianity is to the advantage of. See, Americans will be pressurizing their government. There's a Christian duty to support Israel. They say, good. Whether we believe them or not, it's favoring us. The ones in Africa, they don't pressure the government to support anybody, but they carry their hard-earned money and go over to Israel to go to upper room that there are different varieties, depending on who your guide is. The tomb that even Jesus got up and walked away from, you want to go and lie down there. And they will be, my friend who went with them, he was laughing. He's a pastor. He said, foolishness. They were all rolling there. Some say, when I got there, I had this experience. It's your mind. I could have had that experience in my children's room. So I got there, I just saw it. I began to feel, the Jews gave you a wrong tomb, and you are feeling. Just carve anything for us to go and see. I'd rather watch Mel Gibson than travel. That Passion of the Christ movie is cheaper. You know how my flight ticket is? People who they won't come and settle down to hear the word of God, they will travel to Israel expecting a spiritual experience. There is no spiritual experience there. None. None. Did you ever see Peter, James, John tell people to go to Jerusalem? And those people, it was trekking distance, or at least one small boat ride. It wasn't important. Now let a joker be making merchandise of their soul, saying he brought mustard seed. Okay, I said, okay, now you've got the mustard seed. What are you supposed to do with it? What do they do with it? They eat it. And I heard the thing is so expensive. There is nothing you get, you are hoping to get from those things. You won't get if you just take the word of God and activate it by faith in your heart. Don't let anybody make merchandise of your soul. You have no business going to a village to go and dig up what is not missing. If you go to any church and somebody says that, do you know where your placenta is? Say, sir, let me go and look for it. Collect your Bible and leave. Say, do you know the thing they buried against you? Say, okay, no problem. You don't. Let me go and look for it. Just carry your Bible. Use as an excuse and disappear. He that the Son has set free is free indeed. How do you become free? By faith in what the Son did for you. That's how you become free. So if you're having problems, listen. Reject some kind of problems. Just say, no, I don't want.
Every week, maybe they tell you, beginning of every year, you always have this headache, and they say, they tell you it's migraine. Say, okay, from now on, I don't want migraine again. Go home, tell migraine, I don't like you. Don't come here again. Next time he tries to come, tell him, did I not tell you last time not to come here again? Out of bounds. Don't come near my house. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has set me free. Has washed away my migraine. He said simply, by his stripes I have been healed. I don't want to hear again. Next time he comes knocking, you tell him the same thing. After a while, he will realize that you are not a good friend. He won't come to your house again. Then one day you wake up, say, where's my neighbor? He says, in hospital, what happened? He has migraine. You know it's the same spirit that found somebody else that was friendlier. One man of God, reading the other day, he said, this was long ago, that one day a woman died. This really happened. And the woman died having suffered from terrible ulcers, stomach problems, terrible ones. So he went for the funeral. Was it a woman or a man? Somebody anyway. And as they were lowering the fellow in the grave, suddenly he felt as if somebody shot him with a gun in his stomach. Do you understand? He just felt, and the thing hit him like this. And he suddenly realized what happened. That evil spirit that tormented that guy all his life was looking for who to attach to. Just did like this. Say, not here, in Jesus' name. Go! The thing ran away. I'm sure the thing grabbed somebody else. Evil spirit, they don't like to be buried with people. I'm telling you. Nobody, no, those kind of spirits, know what they do? They jump on the children. Then the boy now starts one day, he's not feeling well, goes to the hospital. What is stomach? Ah, my stomach problem. What happened? Ah, my father used to suffer it. So then that doctor now writes genetic predisposition, familial tendency. Then they do a study and show that you are one of the 25% that gets this disease because their parents had it. You won't know what's when your father died, the thing jumped inside you. Instead of you to reject it, you start cuddling it. My ulcer, how are you? I'm fine. I hope you have eaten. No, I've not eaten. So, is that why you are paining me like this? Yes. Go and grab food. Eat. So, I tell the ulcer, I say, oh boy, you are not welcome here. If my father tolerated you, it doesn't mean I should. In fact, the message I have today is don't tolerate nonsense. Don't tolerate nonsense. I feel like adding this one to it. Don't tolerate bad habits. Don't let them have a hold on you. Your father used to shout and get angry and get the whole house down. You now say, you know, I think I took it from my father. You took a bad thing from your father. That's why he was hypertensive. You don't know. You are bragging on a bad thing. Don't tolerate bad habits. Don't tolerate problems. Just reject it. Ha, let me add this one to you. Do you know you can like that reject poverty? You know, people are very funny. You know, if you remember, eh? Your father worked for government. Your mother worked for government. They worked for 30 years. Both of them retired poor. Have you noticed? I don't know your name. Just talking to you. Then the last 5 years, been looking for work. Looking for who will pay you salary again. Common sense should have told you didn't work for your father, didn't work for your mother. I don't know whether I catch what I'm saying there. And your parents will tell you that, you know, job security. You say, with all your job security, daddy, you didn't make it. Mommy didn't make it. You were secure for 30 years, retired in poverty. So I think I'll try insecurity. Yes, so I think I should try insecurity. It might pay me better. Take the word of God. Don't let them take the word of God and say, no, this one, I reject it. Don't say it's an ancestral problem. No. Father God, I thank you because we have read from the scriptures, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, say, we know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, even though he was rich, but for our sakes he became poor. All right? So that we, through his poverty, might become rich. Lord, that's my portion. I will not accept poverty. Lord, now, what do I do? First, I told you something on Saturday. Be careful what you agree with. When somebody says that, no, you know, you can't be rich without being corrupt. Say, the Bible didn't say so. That the Bible said, wealth and riches are in the house of the righteous. Is that what the scripture say?
Yes.
Say, Lord, what is righteousness? Teach me. Let me walk in righteousness. That wealth and riches may be with me. Wisdom say, I endure those that love me with wealth. Say, Lord, what is wisdom? He says, it's the fear of God. Teach me the fear of God. Say, but this poverty, I reject it.
That's all, you know, what I've said now is all you need to do. Then God, little by little, starts teaching you what diligence is, what honesty is, integrity, how to rest at the appropriate time, work at the appropriate time, how to be generous with money, how to invest money. You look back one day, 20 years has passed, and you are richer than you ever imagined. And you come to work in the morning, 50 heads of families are greeting you, good morning, sir, because now you sign check for salary. You are producing wealth for people. Not only that, you are causing other people to go out and create wealth. Why? Because one day you prayed like Jabez. Oh, that you will bless me indeed. Some people sit down and be grumbling. The leaders in this country, they have finished all the whole money. It's a lie. They can't finish the money because it's from above. Yes, they can't finish your portion. All the one they are stealing, in quotes now, is the one they took from drilling oil. Is that not so? Are they stealing MTN's money? Are they stealing DSTV's money? Are they stealing Innocent's money? They're not stealing Innocent's money. They are buying cars from Innocent. You hear that Dangote came one day and said, they're stealing all the money. It's all the poor people that will be complaining. They say, they're stealing all the money. Those that God is blessing, they don't have time for such complaints. If they feel like the money is being so comfortable, what are you people doing? I don't like this nonsense. So they will sit down and negotiate. Do you know the people that shook the country? They are private people. They gather together and say, we want our money. People are sitting down there and they're saying, send out the money. You are waiting for the day they won't steal before you prosper. Wait. Don't worry. Eventually you'll get to heaven prosperous. Amen. But if you are waiting for every human being to be honest, they asked Dangote once that all the challenges of business in Nigeria, how does he cope? He said Nigeria has challenges, but the markup in Nigeria is unmatched anywhere in the world. And they come and do business in Nigeria, people are making noise. MTN say, man, 160 million people that have never seen phones. My father, they ran down here. He said, there's no power, they brought generator. He said, there's no security, they hire police. Look, what they did, what Econet, Strive Mass U and Co. of Econet Wireless, what they did in Nigeria, they say had never been done anywhere in the world to be linking the cities with for normal GSM with satellite. They said Nigeria was the first place they did it. When they came to Nigeria, no infrastructure, nothing. They rolled out in Lagos, rolled out in Abuja, rolled out in Port Harcourt. How do we connect? The guys scratched their head. So they asked the engineers, how do we do interconnection from all these places? Nigeria didn't have the normal cable, because normally what most people, Nitel would have had cables, even if it's normal copper cables, they would have had. Then they rent from Nitel. Nitel they didn't have. Nigeria didn't have fiber optics. The guy said, what do we do? If you ever use phone in the earliest days of GSM, there used to be a lag when the person is far away. You don't notice it anymore because they now use fiber optics. They've laid cables everywhere. The guy said, okay. I read the story. The Econet people said, what do we do? Somebody in the engineering place said that maybe they should use satellite. The other guy said, no, we can't do that. So the MD said, is it that it can't be done? Or it has never been done? Somebody said it has never been done. He said, but it can be done. He gave the yeah, go and do it. When they interconnected, the MTN fellow calls the Econet guy and said, oh boy, you are a cowboy. How did you manage? The MTN copied them. They solve challenge. They said, Nigerians, look, oh, it's hard. So you are going to pay 15 naira a minute to make calls. Remember, how much is the call now? Between 6 and 9 naira a minute. When dollar is much more expensive than it used to be that time. Then we paid for it. And they said these people will pay. Some people were complaining. I remember then, this man, what is his name? The former chairman of UBA. Akim. Akim sponsored one of the companies that bid for the license. When the license fee crossed $200 million, he pulled out. Those guys bought their licenses for $285 million each. I don't know whether you remember. And they asked him, they asked for his opinion. He said, no company can pay $285 million and make a profit in Nigeria. That was what Akim said. They asked Pascal Dozier, who was with MTN people. He said, it is not about profit. It's that Nigeria too should have it. That was what Pascal Dozier said. Oh boy. I don't know whether it's true or not. They say MTN, when they can't order mass enough, they will dismantle it in South Africa and bring it to Nigeria. One of my friends used to build cell sites. He said the profit on the traffic
on a sell site in 24 hours used to pay for it. I don't know whether I get the point. That he who used to build sell site, he said that the way it was that once they put down a site, instantly it's overloaded. That the traffic on it used to pay in 24 hours for the cost. I'm going to give them a whiny, whiny, man. They still know the money. They still know the money. They can't steal your money. Are you getting my point? If you get up and you're productive, listen to this is the word of God for you. He will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. You will abound to every good work. Amen. You can get up and reject poverty. You are seeking for somebody to employ you. Forget it. They won't employ you. Deploy yourself somewhere. I'm telling you, there are so many things you can do and use that one to just reject poverty. Say, I tried two businesses, it failed. Don't worry about it. Peter Daniels tried three or four, and they all failed. He did not believe in curses, the way some of us do. He just said simply, I have not yet found the thing that works for me. And when he found it, he became so rich. Once a company said, help us, we're in trouble. He helped them for 10 minutes. How much is your fee, sir? $1 million. 10 minutes of talk. $1 million. Like I always like to add, the company made $100 million from what Peter Daniels told them in 10 minutes. I forgot to tell you, as a little boy, they said he was so brain dull. His brain was so dull, they labeled him brain damaged that he was uneducable. Listen, just reject anything God has not given you. Don't make excuses. Wake up. Say, what am I going to do today? Go about and go and do it. Listen, I keep on telling Christians, the advantage you have is that God actually listens to you. When they say there's trouble, you kneel down and say, Lord, what do I do? Say, Lord, what do I do? Do you know he will start giving you ideas? He will start giving you ideas. You can't, look, if I just say, I have rejected poverty. Some people are waiting, say, the disadvantage that my uncle is not helping. Stop making excuses. Are you getting my point? People you thought will help, they are out of power now. Let me give this scripture a close. The word of God says, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. I have a word for somebody. Where you labored over the last few years and you got paid $10,000, $15,000, $1,000, $20,000, the time is about to reach. You will labor and your fee is with 5 million naira. Amen. Now, someone will say, hey, this business is working. No. It's not the business. It is the man. It is the woman. Are you getting my point? It is the person doing it. That same labor that you have labored over the last few years, you labor for a week, payment, $10,000. You labor for 3 days, payment, $5,000. That same amount of labor, the same effort, the same things that you are doing, you will do it this time around. Fee, half a million naira. Fee, 2 million naira. Fee, 5 million naira. Now listen to this. Fee, 50 million naira. It will happen. It will happen. I said it will happen. I said it will happen. It will happen to you. It will happen to you. That is the season of fruitfulness. All right, get ready. This is your season of fruitfulness. Amen. Let's rise to our feet quickly and share the grace. I just feel like getting to that. This is the season of fruitfulness. All right, if you're blessed, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, let's share the grace in fellowship. Because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, surely we have passed out of death and we have passed into life. We have passed out of darkness into the light of Christ.